Shalom to all. Today's Av Zor Shana Daf Yudalit, and we're starting Yud Gimel Beis about three lines off the bottom by the two dots with the words Uma Kilkol. And today's Av sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Tzar Bas Biyakam Moshe Harnish Shama should have an Aliyah. So Moshe told us originally we accepted Eitz of Kisha Chodesh from anyone, even if we don't recognize them. It's just that Misha Kilkolu Haminim. Once the heretics started making problems, we stopped doing that, and we need to recognize the person. Ask the Gemara Uma Kilkol Havatamon. What type of Kilkol? What type of ruining did they do over there? The answer is Shayu Aimrim. They say this is referring to the by Susim Atzarus LaAchar Shabbos that Shvuas always has to fall out after Shabbos. That's because the Pasuk tells us regarding the Karban Omer that Mimachras HaShabbos Yinufanu HaKayin. So the Karban Omer is supposed to be brought Mimachras HaShabbos the day after Shabbos. They understand this to mean on Sunday, meaning the day after Saturday, and we count 50 days from there. That's Shavuos, which means according to them, Shavuos always has to fall out on Sunday, but that's not true. We know that Machras HaShabbos means after the first day of Pesach, but they always want to try to make it that Shavuos fell out on Sunday. And therefore, whenever it turned out that they were able to establish Rosh Chodesh in a way that Pesach would fall out on Shabbos, and then that would mean the Shavuos would fall out on Sunday, so they would hire false Edim, send them out while it's nighttime, meaning even though the new moon wasn't sighted yet, they would still send their false Edim to testify that they saw the new moon, so Rosh Chodesh would be proclaimed to be on Shabbos, and that would mess everything up. That's why we can't trust anyone anymore. Asking Mar Yudal Ramanaf on top, Me'at, if that's so, Al Nisan Loi Kablinon, Al Shayer Chaya Kablinon. So that means that regarding Nisan, which is the month that's going to cause the whole mess up, then we won't accept people that we don't recognize, but regarding other months that have nothing to do with this, we should accept people even though we don't recognize them, because what does that have to do with Shavuos? So Amar Rabbi Yisrael Bun, he answers, Ikr Kalkalosoin min Adar Havos. Actually, the Ikr ruining that they did is already from Adar, because if they were able to establish Adar on a certain date, then based off of the standard Cheshbonus of months, that means that already a month later, Nisan would fall out on Shabbos, which then means Mela, that the first day of Pesach would be on Shabbos, and that means that Shavuos would be on Sunday. So it's not just Nisan, it's also Adar. Ask more fine. Me'ato, Kadhi the Kavosoin, Loi Kablinon, that's the proper Girsa. If they ate them in front of us, if based off their testimony, it would actually be like that, the Pesach would fall out on Shabbos and Mela Shavuos on Sunday. So if we don't recognize them, fine, we will not accept their Eidos. Whereas in Lesu the Kavosoin, if it's not going to come out like them, meaning if the Edim that are testifying about the new moon anyway are not testifying in a way that is going to cause a problem, so Yikablinon, we take out the word Loi, let's accept them. Why do we have to say, don't accept Eidos from them if we don't recognize them, if anyway based off their Eidos, it's not trying to mess us up? And the answer is Zu Mipnei Zu, it's this because of that, meaning because of a situation that we will run into an issue that Edim that we don't recognize might be testifying falsely in order to get Pesach to fall out on Shabbos, so we can't accept those, Mimele we can't accept anybody else, and for that matter, it's not just for Nisan and Adar, it's for all the other months as well. And my story is a story, Shesachar by Susim Shnei the Sheker Lohayda al Chaydesh and Eskadesh, the by Susim hired two false Edim to testify regarding the new moon, so they can miskadesh it according to the way they wanted it to happen, and Uba Echad, one fellow came, Vahayde Dusai, he gave his Eidos, Vahalchloy, and then he went on his merry way, Uba Acher, and then the second aide came along, Va'amran, he said, Ailo Hayisi Maladumim, I was going up Maladumim, Ver'isev, and I saw the moon. How did it look? Ravod's Bain Shnei Slaim, it was crouching in between two rocks, Roshay Domela Egel, its head looked like a calf, Aznov Domas Ligdi, its ears looked like a goat, Ver'isev, I saw it, Vinivhalti, I was really shocked, Vinirsati Lachayrai, and I had to take a step backwards. And if you don't believe me, Varimasayim Zuz Kshum Rab Fundasi, I have 200 Zuz tied up in my wallet. In other words, he said this completely outlandish and ridiculous thing, basically telling Bezdin that I was hired to give false Eidos. So Amr Lai, they told him, first of all, Harim Asayim Zuz Nesun Lucham Matana, the 200 Zuz that you were paid to give false Eidos, you can keep it, even though technically a Pialach, you should return it, because you never actually gave the false Eidos you were hired to do, since you know Bezdin has the right to find people whom they want, so they're able to take this money and say, okay, you can keep it. And also, Shalchach, the ones who had sent you, Yavoy Vyilku, they're going to come and they're going to get Malkus. But here's the question, Ata, you, Lemechnasa Asuchal Mesafik, why'd you get yourself into this situation over here? Why'd you allow yourself to be hired out to give false Eidos, which you didn't end up giving, and you didn't even know we were going to end up giving you the 200 Zoz? So what'd you get involved in this for? Amar Lahani told him, Re'isi Oysam Vakshan Lahatez Chachamim, I saw that they want to trip up the Chachamim. Amarti, I told myself, Motiv She'elechani V'nadil Chachamim, it's better that I go and I let the Chachamim know that they're trying to trip them up. Now we're going to explain the next part of Mishnah, which had said that Misha Kilkulu HaKusim, once the Kusim started ruining things, so there's no more Masuas anymore. Now let's just pause to explain what the Masuas were, even though we're going to see a Mishnah on Amud Beis describing them in more detail. The general idea is that before this Kilkul of the Kusim, once they were Mekadesh the Chodesh, instead of sending out messengers, which is very tedious and time-consuming, they would simply go to the top of a mountain, wave flaming torches about. There would be people on the next mountain who would see this, and they would wave flaming torches, and it would pass from mountaintop to mountaintop, and that way everybody would be able to be notified that it's Rosh Chodesh in a fairly short amount of time. They didn't take too much effort. So now the question is, Uma Kilkul Havatamon, what was the Kilkul over there by the Kusim? The answer is, to have an Elin must have been Yom Dain, as because they would do these Masuos, Bezim would make sure these torches were waved on that day, as we're going to see soon, the night after after they were Mekadesh the Chodesh. And Ve'ilein, Mazbel Machar, the Kusim went up to the mountaintop the next day and they waved torches again. So it means there was torches being waved two nights in a row. And Vahusvurin, everyone else who saw this thought, Shemnim Lechu Bezin La'avru, that Bezin changed their mind and decided to extend the month another day, Ve'im Niskalkalin, and they'll ruin everything. It would ruin everyone's calculations of when Yom Tif is. And because of this, they stopped this whole torch waving ceremony. Asked the Gemara, okay, Umi Bital Samasuais, so who was officially Mevatal the ceremony? The answer is Rebbe Bital Samasuais. Rebbe was Mevatal it, and he instituted that we just send out Shluchim. Now, once he said we could send out Shluchim, so Vehitir Ratzeach, he even permitted a murderer. Everyone knows that this fellow murdered somebody, and he's usually not believed for any sort of Eidos, but to give over the message that they were Mekash the Chaydesh, he is believed, and also Vehitir MP Aid. He also allowed one aid who heard from another. Usually in Bezin, you can't have one aid giving testimony that he heard from somebody else and doesn't know it by himself. But over here, in regards to telling everybody when Rosh Chodesh was established, even Eid Mipnei Eid is okay. And Vehitir Shu Yotzen Olav Me'er Erev Cheskas Shen Skadesh, he was matir that they would go out even in the evening time. Becheskas was in Skadesh. This is talking about a situation when it was very clear in the sky. Everybody saw the new moon. So for sure, there was going to be Eidim that were going to be coming to Beis Din and they were going to be able to establish that today is Rosh Chodesh. And so instead of waiting for that to happen, he already allowed messengers to be sent out from tonight to tell everyone that that day is Rosh Chodesh. Now, Ravo, he tells us, Afagav da Amar At, the Bitlus HaMasuais, even though you said that Rebbe was Mevatel Masuais, no more torch waving, Loi Bitlu Mayim Tveria, he wasn't Mevatel them in the area of Tveria by the sea, and that's because there's no Kusim there, so there's no issue. Now, Rabbi Zeir Ba'akum Ravo, he has as follows, Ilein Dechamian Tzvat, Maudi Yisbun. What about those people who see the residents of Tzvat, that they were waving torches at the top of their mountain? Should those people who see that now go to the tops of their mountains and wave torches in order to be able to pass on the message, or no? So I'm like, respond to him, Rebbe Bitel Samasuais. We just said the Rebbe was Mevatel the torch waving ceremony. So Tzvat, Lama Masba, why would Tzvat be waving torches? It's not supposed to be happening at all. So why are they going to the top of their mountains to wave them? The answer is El Begin Maidad de Inan Yadin. That's in order just to notify the Bezdin in Tveria that they got the message at Rosh Chodesh. That's why they were waving the torches. Not to pass on the message at Rosh Chodesh, but it's to let the Bezdin Tveria know that we got the message, and therefore anyone who saw the people of Tzvat doing this have no reason to be waving torches of their own. So we further clarifies in greater depth, Ain't Masin Lele Zmanoi, Ella Lele Burai. They wouldn't do the torch waving the night of its time, rather the night of the extension. What does this mean? So as we explained at the beginning of the Sugya of Kiddush HaChodesh, that a month is either 29 or 30 days. If the month is Mekodesh Bizman, that means that day 30 of the month is really Rosh Chodesh. It's the first day of the next month. However, if it's a month that's Me'ubur, it is an extended month. So that means that day 31 is Rosh Chodesh and day 30 is really the last day of the previous month. As what we just learned now is that when they did have the torch waving, they would not do it the night after day 29, meaning the night of the 30th. They would only wave the torches the next night, which is called Lel Iburai. In other words, let's say the new moon was seen the night of the 30th, so Eidim would come to Beis Din on the day of the 30th, Beis Din would declare the 30th Rosh Chodesh, and then the night of the 31st, meaning that next night, the night before the 31st day of the month, then they would wave the torches, and so when everyone saw the torches being waved on the mountains, they would say, oh, yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. And why is this? So Leili Zmanu in Masiyin, the reason why the night of its time, meaning the night of day 30, the reason why no torches are being waved is Mnei Yom Tif, because Yom Tif. In other words, on Rosh Hashanah, we wouldn't be able to wave them Leil Zmanoi, because that's Rosh Hashanah, so we have to wait for Matzah Rosh Hashanah to wave them, and therefore Avol Masiyin Leili Buroi, they could be waved that next night. Now, further explaining, Ein Masiyin El Chadashim Mushavim Bizmanon, they would only wave the torches when the month was Bizman, meaning when they were Mekadesh the Chodesh, on the 30th day of the month, so then they would wave torches that next night. But if the new moon wasn't seen then, and they were only Mekadesh HaChodesh the next day, meaning day 31, so then no torch waving took place at all. Why is that? B'nei Yom Tov Shechal Yos B'Erev Shabbos, because Yom Tov falls on Erev Shabbos, meaning, let's say Rosh Hashanah falls on Erev Shabbos, so we can't wave torches the night of Rosh Hashanah, as we just said before, and we can't wave them Matzah Rosh Hashanah, because that's Shabbos, so we'd have to wave them the next night. So if Matzah Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah, people see the torches being waved, they're going to say, oh, Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos, but really it wasn't. It was on Friday. We just couldn't wave them Friday night. And because of that, we only wave them the night after the first day of Rosh Chodesh, not any other time. And now the Gemara speaks out Beferosh, Leili Buroi Emasim B'nei Kavod Shabbos, the night of the Iber, meaning when Rosh Chodesh is late, they're not going to wave it because of Kavod Shabbos, as we just said, that's Friday night. Yudal Rambam Beis on top, She'im Oimer At Masin, Bein Al Chodashim Yushavim Mizmanon, Bein Al Chodashim Mubarin, She'inim Yushavim Mizmanon. If you're going to say that we're going to wave the torches, whether Rosh Chodesh is in time or even Rosh Chodesh is a day late, well, Imam Ratkin, if you're going to say that, Afin Svurin, they're also going to think, Shemanim Lechu Bezin La'abroi, maybe Bezin changed her mind and decided to extend it, Calculating they're going to get ruined. Therefore, even when the Masuas were done, that was only the first day that Rosh Chodesh could have been, not the second day. So, when Talal Chabez continues to discuss this, the Mishnah tells us, how are these torches waved? So, first They would bring long, tall poles of cedar wood, v'kanin, and reeds, v'atze shemen, and oil wood, un'ayres shel pishtan, and combings of flax, v'karch v'mshicha, and they tie it all in a big ball. This helped to increase the flame. V'ayla rosh ahar, you go up to the top of the mountain, u'matz ben asur, and then light it on fire, u'maylchu mevi mal u'mayrid, and you go back and forth and up and down, ad shu reyes chaveira, shu asakin rosh ahar sheni, until he sees another fellow on top of the next mountain doing the same thing, v'chein rosh ahar shlishi, also on top of the third mountain, as we described previously. From where would they start the ceremony? So it'd start Mehar Mishcha, from Har Mishcha, which is Har HaZeisim, that's right beyond the Beis HaMikdash, and that went L'Sartava, to Sartava, and Misartava, L'Grifina, and M'Grifina, L'Chavron, and M'Chavron, L'Beis Baltin, and L'Beis Baltin, L'Oizazu, from Beis Baltin, he wouldn't move at all, meaning the person who's waving it wouldn't move, he would continue waving it about, until he saw the entire diaspora in front of him, like a big bonfire. That's because Beis Baltin overlooked Pumpedisa and Bavel, and so the people in Bavel, when they would see the torch being waved in Beis Baltin, they would all go to their rooftops and wave torches to let him know that they saw, and so in his vision, it looked like the whole area was lit on fire. Asik Mar Mao Atze Shemen, what exactly are Atze Shemen? The answer is, the Dunin, it's this type of wood. And Ravina, he tells us, what's this waving like? Kadein Makazna, like Makazna, which we don't know what that is, and Omar B'Zair, he further explains, the reason why we had to wave it about is the Loi Havin Sovereign, the Hukaychav, so that they shouldn't think that maybe this is just a shooting star through the sky. And Rabbi Yaisa, he says, Chaminan Kaychav Salak Venachis, Chaminan Kaychav Azav Asi, we've seen stars that go up and down, and we've seen stars that go side to side, but we've never seen a star that goes up and down and side to side. So when they see that in the sky, they know that it's the torch telling them that it was Rosh Chodesh and not that it's a star. And Tanu Yeva Braisa, Bahari Michvar Ugadar, that these are also two mountains that were points that waving took place from. And Rav Chana, he tells us, Kad Salkina Lahacha, when I came up to here, meaning when I came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Salkina L'Resh Beis Baltin, I went to the top of Beis Baltin, and Rav Chamin Deklai De Bavel, Ki Ilein Chagvaya, that's proper Gersa, I saw the palm trees of Bavel, they looked like a bunch of little grasshoppers. You see, the Beis Baltin was really a great overlook. I was able to see this entire region of Bavel. Moving on to Halacha Gimel, we continue discussing the Edim coming to give their Edos of Kiddush HaChodesh, and if you're specifically talking about those that came on Shabbos, Chatzar Gedolah Ha'isav Yerushalayim, there was a large Chatzar in Yerushalayim, Ubeis Yazik Ha'isav, was called Beis Yazik, Ulasham Kol Edim Skansen, that's where all the Edim who came to testify about seeing the new moon, they would gather over there, and Ubezin Baitkin Ha'isav Sham, Bezin would check them over there and ask them all their questions, which we'll be learning about soon. Usudas Gedolos Hayu Oisel Lahen, they would make big sudas for them, Bishvil Shurigin Lava, so you should be accustomed to coming. Imagine you know that when you show up for Edus HaChodesh, you're going to be greeted with a grand suda and a very enjoyable time. You're definitely not going to hold back and you're going to come. Now, Barishan originally, Loi Hayu Zazim Yisham Kal Yayim, they wouldn't move from there the entire day on Shabbos. That's because they came from outside their tchum. We know that when a person leaves their tchum on Shabbos, they're not allowed to move. So when they came to Beis Yazik, they wouldn't move. However, Hiskim Ragamel HaZakin, then Ragamel HaZakin was Metakin, Shumahalchan Alpayim Amel Choruach, that they'd be allowed to walk 2,000 amos in every direction like they belonged in that city. V'la'il Bavad, it's not only these people, Elo Av Chachama Ba'al Yaled, even a Chachama, which is a midwife, if she had to leave her tchum to go to a different city to help somebody give birth, Ba'al HaHatzel, if somebody went to save somebody else, either Miyad HaDleika from a fire, Miyad HaGaius from a rotting band of soldiers, Miyad HaNar from a river that overflowed, Miyad HaMapilas from a building that collapsed, in all these situations, even though the person left their tchum, Hare Elo Ka'anshi Ha'ir, they're like the people of the city that they are currently located in, V'yashlam Alpayim Amel Choruach, and they have 2,000 amos in all directions, like a regular person of that city, and that's because the Chachamim didn't want to discourage these people from doing what they're doing, and therefore they were granted this heter. Says the Gemara, Chatzar Gedolah Ha'isav Yerushalayim Beis Yazik Ha'isanikris, Ma'o Beis Yazik, what's his lashon of Beis Yazik, why was it called that? The answer is, Shesham Hayu Oizkinis Halacha, that's where they would clarify the Halacha. Kamad HaTarmel, like the Pasuk says, Vayazkeyu Vayasalkeyu V'goymer, and he clarified and he cleared away. Vayasalkeyu was lashon of clearing away stones, and that clarifies and clears the field. So Beis Yazik was a place where the Halacha was clarified. Continue to explain the Mishnah, we said, Barishayin Allah Hezazim Shom Kal Yom, that's because Chazru, some actually take out the word Chazru, Va'asu Aysam Kechli Sheba Chotzot Chom, Misha Chashecha, Shemotel Tatalei Besechar Ba'amos. They treated these people who came to give aids of Kisha Chodesh just like a Kli that was brought from outside the Tchom, that's only allowed to be carried within Dalad Amos. Whenever the Kli, or a person for that matter, leaves their Tchom on Shabbos, they're stuck, and they're only allowed to walk 4 Amos in every direction from where they're currently located. So originally, the people who came to this Beis Yazik were stuck walking around Dalad Amos in all directions. But then, V'chazru Asu Aysam Kekelim Sheshavsu B'chatzer Shemotel Tatalon B'chatzer. Then they decided this is too hard, so he started treating them like Kalim that stayed in the Chatzer, meaning Kalim that when Shabbos started, they were located in the Chatzer, so they're allowed to be carried around the entire Chatzer. Same thing, these people that came from outside their Tchum, and now they're located in Beis Yazik, they're allowed to walk around the entire Chatzer, the whole Shabbos. And this was a situation, Ad Shabar Megamalil HaZaken, until Megamalil HaZaken came along, V'hiskin Shu Malchin al Paim Amal Charuach, and he was Metakein, that they're actually allowed to walk 2,000 Amos in every direction. So really, they're just considered like people of Yerushalayim, and they're allowed to walk around all of Yerushalayim and 2,000 Amos beyond that. Now, Tanu Yevabraisa, Av Bal Lomel Sakatan Kain, even a male who goes to give a brismila to a child is the same thing. If he has to go outside his tchum to go give that child a brismila, he now takes on the tchum of the city that he's located in, and must be the Masnisa de Rebbe Lezer. That this is like Rebbe Lezer. The Tanya Taman we learned over there, Va'aydam Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer also says, Karsan Eitzim Lasses Pechamil Lasses Barzel, that on Shabbos, if we don't have a mila knife, they can cut wood to make charcoal in order to produce iron or help fix the iron in order to be able to do the brismila. This is specifically Shitas Rebbe Lezer, who holds that such a thing as Daicha Shabbos, as opposed to the Chamim, who hold that that wasn't Daicha Shabbos because it could have been done beforehand, which would be the same thing with the Mayol, who's leaving his Tchum to go be Malakid. Really, he could have done that before Shabbos, so must be that this is Shitas Rebbe Lezer. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up North Halacha Dalad, continue to discuss Kiddush HaChodesh. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.